Hey everyone, welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. And today we're continuing with this powerful series called The Jesus Model. In this series, Rick will walk you step by step through the process of true biblical discipleship. Rick's giving you practical tools to grow spiritually, experience God's peace, live with greater purpose, and become more like Jesus in every area of your life. So let's jump right in. This will be the final part of a message called How Jesus Handled Stress.
Would you agree that noise is a stress? Yeah, it's a stress. And would you agree that the world is getting noisier? Yes. So you have to make intentional times of quietness and solitude in your life, or you're going to go batty. And if there's always noise in your life, and the TV is always on, and the radio is always on, and the earbuds are always in your ear, you're not going to have the spiritual and emotional resources to handle the stress in life. If Jesus knew he needed to get alone and pray and listen to God, so do you. So let me give you a little suggestion. Start your morning with the good news, not the bad news. See, the reason why you're cranky all day is because you start your day the wrong way. In the first place, you wake up to an alarm clock. So you start the day in a state of alarm, and I'm alarmed. Okay, get rid of that thing. Throw it away. Get a clock that has Pastor Rick speaking to you. Wake up, little sleepyhead. God loves you. Don't think about turning over. You see, a lot of time we make excuses for not getting up and having a quiet time with guys. Oh, God, I'm sorry. Something came up this morning. Said, yeah, I saw it. It's big and white. It's called a sheet. And that kept me from having my time with God. So what you do is you get up, you know, put on some praise music or something. Don't get up and in the morning. If the first thing you do is get up and watch Bad Morning America, or you read the paper, or you listen to the radio, you're filling your mind with all the negative stuff. Now, if I asked you, how many of you believe everything you read in the newspaper? Nobody would raise your hand. If I asked, how many of you listen to believe everything on the radio? Nobody would raise their hand. How many of you believe everything you watch on TV? Nobody would raise their hand. How many believe what God says in the Bible? You'd raise your hand. Why do we spend more time reading and listening to something we don't believe than something we do? That's not very logical. If you want to lower the stress in your life, you have to make a daily time with God where you listen to God and set your mood. Number six, the sixth principle of stress management. You're going to think I'm making this up, but I didn't. It's right there in the Word. The sixth principle of collaboration is join a small group. Join a small group. Why? Because Jesus did. You were never intended to handle the stress in your life by yourself. You know the stress you're going through right now? That all that stress that you're carrying right now? God never intended for you to handle it on your own. In fact, God wants you to share it with other people. We were made in the image of God, which means we're relational. God is love. Father, Son, Holy Spirit is in relationship to himself. We were made for relationships. That's why the first thing God said is, it's not good for man to be alone. You need other men in your life. You need other women in your life. And you need a small group. You weren't meant to carry all of the stress that you're carrying by yourself. Now, complete this sentence for me. If you want a job done right, do it. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Okay? If you want a job done right, hire an expert to do it. Somebody can do it better than you. If you want a job done right, do it yourself. That's the motto of a perfectionist headed for burnout. Even Jesus didn't do that. If anybody had a right to say, if you want to do it right, do it yourself, Jesus would do it. Would Jesus do it better than his disciples? Yes. Did he still involve them in doing it? Yes. Why? Because we were meant to live life in community, in connection, in a group. And the very first thing Jesus did before he ever started his ministry is he started a small group. And he got 12 guys to be a part of his group, and he never did anything by himself. He did everything in ministry with a small group. He had a connection. He had a community. The Bible says this in Mark chapter 3. He appointed 12, designating them apostles. Apostles just means somebody sent out. He was going to send them out after he left, that they might be with him. Circle the words "with him." This is the "with him" principle. If anybody had the right to do it on his own, it was Jesus, and even Jesus needed a small group. Now, so much of our stress is self-imposed because we get uptight when we think it all depends on us. You're not the general manager of the universe. And if you resign as general manager of the universe, it's not going to fall apart. I'll never forget when the church Saddleback reached about 500 people, I was burning out. I was still trying to be Superman. I was trying to do every wedding, trying to do every funeral. I was trying to visit everybody in the hospital. I was trying to counsel everybody, save everybody's marriage. I was trying to do it all personally, and I was burning out. And we had about 500 people. One man can handle about 100 people. That's what he can handle. That's why most churches have 100 people in them, because that's what one pastor can handle, about 100 people. But now we had 500, and I was just dying. And one night we had a midweek prayer service, Bible study, and I went to the folks and I said, "You guys, I can't do this anymore. I'm still in my 20s, but I can't do this anymore. I cannot personally meet everybody's needs. I can't counsel everybody. I can't go to everybody's funeral or everybody's wedding. I can't be at everybody, visit everybody in the hospital. There's too many people, and I'm dying, and I'm going to burn out." But I said, "You know what? As I read the Bible, that's not what God says pastors are supposed to do anyway. The Bible says the members are the ministers. They're supposed to take care of each other in small groups. They're to care for each other. And it is my job as a pastor to train and equip and pray for you and lead you and feed you. And you do the ministry to each other." And I said, "Let's make a deal. If you will do the ministry of the church and you'll all get in small groups and take care of each other's needs, then I will make sure you're well fed." And the people said that night, "Great, Rick, let's do it." And we shook hands on it, and we signed a covenant, and Saddleback exploded with growth because I wasn't the bottleneck anymore. And the bottleneck is always at the top of the bottle. Today, we have over 4,000 small groups. We have one in every city in Southern California, 146 cities. We have Saddleback small groups from Santa Monica to Carlsbad. And if somebody's in a small group, I don't ever worry about them because I know that group's going to take care of their need. When they get sick or they get laid off or they're going through a stress or they have a family member die, those people are going to love. It's the church being the church, caring for each other. Now, if you're not in a small group, nobody's going to care for you in this church because we don't have any organization or system to care for you. Our system is what the Bible teaches. It's small groups. It's from house to house. Why don't we get in small groups? There's two reasons. One of them is fear. I'm afraid I might have to say something. Well, you don't. And the other is arrogance. I don't need it. Even Jesus needed a small group. He didn't do anything without a small group. In fact, when the rogue wind comes and things are tough and tight in your life, who are you going to turn to? And what you need is somebody to, you need to have the safety net in place before the crisis comes. You're going to have crises in your life. You're going to get sick. People are going to die in your life. You're going to have, there'll be diseases. There'll be difficulties. Marriage problems, divorces, drug issues. There are all kinds of things, of friends and family. Things are going to happen in your life, and you need that thing in place. Did you know that Jesus, before he went to the cross, the night before, he knew he was going to be arrested. And so he went to a place called the Garden of Gethsemane, and he went there to pray, but he didn't go alone. He took his small group with him. Even Jesus needed a small group in the tough time, and he was perfect, and you're not. Notice this next verse. Jesus said to them, that's his small group, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." And he goes, "Guys, I'm dying on the inside. I know what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to be crucified. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here with me." He said, "Stay here and keep watch with me." He said, "I don't need your advice. I don't need your words of comfort. I just need you to be here with me." Even Jesus needed a small group at tough times. If you don't think you need a small group, there's a word for that: arrogance and foolishness. You must get in a small group if you want God's blessing on your life and if you want the stress to go down. It's God's way of saying, we need each other. Pride says, "I don't need anybody. I'm okay on my own. I don't need to make time for a group." Yes, you do. For your spiritual health, you need to be in a small group, and it will reduce the stress in your life. You know, there are people in this church right now who'd be willing to help you with what you're going through right now if you just knew who they were. You say, "Well, Rick, you don't know my problem. That my problems I'm going through right now are unique." Oh, no, they aren't. We all have the exact same problems, just different variations. They're all a little tweaked. We all have the exact same problems, just in little variations. Now, Saddleback Church now has over 100,000 names on our roll of attenders. That's the size of a city. Our church is larger than the city we're in. What does that mean? It means that in a church that size, how many other people have the same problem you're going through right now and are going through it right now? I guarantee you, dozens. Dozens of people in this church are going through the identical problem you're going through right now. But if you don't know them, how can you get any comfort? Share. And there are people who've already gone through what you're going right now, and they could help you with advice. Been there, done that. And they could help you out. You got to be willing to get in a group, to humble yourself, say, "Okay, I'm going to make the time to get in a small group." Okay, now the number seven. The last one is, this one's a fun one. And you're going to need this one too in your life. And it's just as important as all the others. It is the principle of recreation. And recreation is this: take time to recharge. If you're going to reduce the stress in your life, know who you are, know what you're living for, know your calling, focus on what matters most, don't worry about the rest, listen to God, get in a small group, get connected, and then take time to recharge. Now, Jesus did this. He had more important work than you and I do, but he took time to relax, to go to parties, to weddings, to have fun, to kick back. In fact, look at this verse. The Bible says in Mark chapter 6, crowds of people were coming and going. In other words, Jesus was, he had no privacy. Crowds were just around him all the time. Crowds of people were coming and going so that they, that's the disciples, did not even have time to eat. When you don't have time to eat, you're really busy. Okay? If you don't have time to eat, it means your schedule's packed. They didn't even have time to eat. And so Jesus said to them, "Come away by yourselves." I love it in the King James. It says, "Come apart for a while." And I always say, if you don't come apart, you're going to come apart. Come away by yourselves, and we'll go to a lonely place to get some rest. Now, Jesus looks at his small group, and he says, "Fellas, you deserve a break today. So let's get out and get away to McDonald's." Actually, Jesus often went to the desert to retreat. Seven different times in his ministry, he retreats to the desert. And he goes out, you know, there's these palm trees and, you know, springs of water. It's Palm Springs is what it is, actually. And this is the biblical definition of a vacation. You need to go to Palm Springs, okay? That's where you need to go. Palm Springs, palms and springs, go out to the desert. But you need to get away by yourself, relax, get away with some friends, have some fun. Jesus frequently retreated to rest. Now, friends, rest and recreation are so important. They're right up there in the Big Ten. God put them in the Big Ten, the Ten Commandments. right along with don't commit adultery and don't murder anybody. He says, every 7 days you take a day off and you worship and you rest and you have fun. And that's all I want you to do on that day. Don't do any work. Rest, recreation, worship. It's called the Sabbath. And God says, right up there with don't kill anybody, he says, every 7 days you take a day off and you spend a little bit of time in worship and you spend a little time in rest, a little recreation. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man's benefit, not man for the Sabbath. The reason God made the rule of every 7 days you worship and you rest was not for his benefit, it was for ours. Because most of us are not smart enough to take time off. I wonder right now in our services and in all of our venues and campuses, how many hours of untaken vacation are stored up? If you're too busy to take your vacation time, you're too busy. And if you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. And if you're too busy to relax, you're too busy. You need to stop and smell the roses. You need to enjoy the moment. And unless you take time to relax and schedule it, there's always going to be something more urgent. I love the verse Matthew 11:19, the Phillips paraphrase said, Jesus came enjoying life. You know, the Pharisees accused Jesus of being a party animal. So the guy's always going to parties. He's always drinking, eating. You want to be Christ-like? Be a purpose-driven eater. Life is meant to be enjoyed, not merely endured. Now, sometimes we just are not smart enough for our own good. And if you don't take time off, God will make you take time off because he cares for you. In the most famous psalm in the Bible, it says Psalm 23, he makes me lay down in green pastures by still waters. Has God ever made you lay down because you weren't smart enough to do it on your own? God says, if you won't look up to me, I'll just lay you flat on your back. Then you'll look up to me. And if you don't take time off, believe me, you will eventually. You'll get sick, you'll get ill, you're going to have a thing, because God did not wire you for continuous work. Sometimes he has to use drastic measures to slow us down. Now, would everybody agree that stress is increasing in our culture? Yeah, it is. And so you've got to take some intentional steps to combat the stress in your life. And what are the steps? These seven things. Know who you are. I'm created by God. He loves me. He made me. He has a plan for my life. Jesus died for me. Know what you're living for. I'm not living for the approval of my parents or my wife or my husband or my boyfriend. I'm living for the approval of God. I'm living for God, and if I do that, it'll always be the right thing. Know your calling. God has called me to do this, but not this, and I don't have to be everything to everybody. Know my purpose. Focus on what matters most. Don't get distracted. We're free to do all kinds of things, but it doesn't mean I should do it. Just because I can afford it doesn't mean I should buy it, and just because I got the time doesn't mean I should do it. Listen to God. That's the principle of meditation. Be quiet on a daily basis. Have a quiet time. Join a small group so you got the relational connections to share the problems that are going on in your life and when you need help, that they're there to support you. And then take time to recharge. Now, here is my homework assignment for you this week. As your pastor who loves you, and as your spiritual leader, I am commanding you to have fun, okay? Now, I don't want you doing honey-do lists. I don't want you catching up on email. I don't want you doing work that you haven't got done all the other time. You need to have some fun. It is better to have loafed and lost than to have never loafed at all. So your spiritual leader is commanding you to have fun tomorrow and have a good time. Now, there's one more stress reliever that Jesus didn't need because he was the Son of God. He was perfect, but we need it. And the last one is there, the last verse in your outline. This is the principle of salvation. And the principle of salvation is real clear. Give it all to Jesus. If you want to overcome your stress. You give it all to Jesus. Here's what Jesus said, Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Notice he doesn't say, I'll give you more burdens. He says, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. What's a yoke? A yoke is when you take two animals and put them together so two are pulling the load instead of one. Jesus is saying, yoke up with me and I'll help you pull your load so you won't be carrying it by yourself. I'll pull it with you. Put the yoke on with me and I'll help you pull your load. He says, take my yoke upon you and let me teach you because I'm humble and gentle and you will find rest for your souls. Now, friends, this offer still stands today. He says, if you're tired, you're worn out, you're beat up, you're frustrated, you're ready to throw in the towel, you're stressed out, he says, don't give up. Look up. Look up to God. Because the single greatest source of stress is you trying to live your life disconnected from Jesus Christ. It's like having being unplugged. There's no power in your life if you're disconnected from God. So what do? He says, Jesus says, come to me. It's real simple. Come to me. Come to Christ today. Give him your stress. He's very aware of all the load you're carrying, and he will help you. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray this prayer together in our hearts. I'll say it, and you can just say, me too. Yeah, in your mind. Dear Jesus Christ, there's a lot of stress in our lives today. And we want to give it all to you. We want to give the good and the bad and the ugly of our lives to you. We want to invite you into every room of our lives, into the living room, into the study, into the bathroom and the bedroom and the kitchen. We want you to be in charge of every area of our lives. We want to know who we're living for. And so we ask you to help us take these steps today. Now you pray this in your heart. Dear Jesus Christ, thank you that you made me to love me. Help me to know who I am and not depend on the approval of others. Jesus Christ, I want to live for you. Not for other people, not for the approval of peer groups, but for you. Help me to know my calling. To fulfill the thing that you gave me the desire to fulfill in my heart. Help me to focus my life on what matters most, not on stuff that isn't going to even matter tomorrow. Teach me to listen to you. I commit to spending a time with you every day, of just being quiet, even if it's just 5 minutes, reading your word, talking to you, and letting you talk to me. If you're not in a small group, today's your day. Say, Jesus Christ, I commit to getting in a small group. To either starting one or with some friends or getting in a small group because I know that I need other people in my life like you did. And help me to take time to recharge, to learn to relax. Most of all, I want to yoke up with you. I want to go your direction and your pace because you're not going to make me a workaholic. I want to find the rest for my soul. And so I give myself completely to you. In your name I pray. Amen.
What a special message from Pastor Rick. And now let's hear how lives are changing through Daily Hope. Here's Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Hi, everybody. Today I want to read part of a letter that I received from June, who is a prisoner that was given a second chance by God. He wrote this. I'm a prisoner here in the National Penitentiary serving my sentence. I came to know the Lord inside my cell 13 years ago, and now I'm serving the Lord as an inmate pastor. Rick, I always use your Daily Hope preaching and devotionals in sharing the words of God to my fellow prisoners. And I see people come to the Lord in many, many ways. You know, before I was in prison and I came to know the Lord, I was a high-ranking police officer. And I was about to commit suicide because of the numerous charges filed against me. But when God saved me physically and spiritually. My journey in prison became the most wonderful vessel used by God to manifest his love to me. He never leaves me nor forsakes me, and may his name always be glorified. Thank you, Pastor Rick. You're an inspiration and encouragement to all of us. Well, June, it's amazing to know your story and to hear that you're using the Daily Hope messages to teach your fellow inmates about Jesus Christ. That is fantastic. I couldn't be more happy. They need to hear that God gives second chances. They need to hear that he still has a plan and purpose for their lives, even though they're in prison. Your story is a great reminder that any one of us can use what we learn through Daily Hope, podcasts, devotionals, and we can take these things and teach others about God's grace and forgiveness and unconditional love. Keep it up, my friend. God bless you.
You know, you can share the good news of Jesus by sharing Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com, click on the Listen tab, and you'll find buttons where you can share the message by email or on social media or WhatsApp. Just go to PastorRick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our Daily Hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.